Never Coming to a Theater Near You is the title of Kenneth Turan's new book. Ken is a film critic for both Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times, and the book is a collection of reviews he has written over the past decade of, as you might guess, smaller films, many of which don't play at the multiplex. Ken joins us in our studio at NPR West. Welcome.
Good to be here.
Now, there are a lot of titles in this book, and just to name just a little handful, Waiting for Guffman, To Die For, Dirty Pretty Things. You know, even the comedies in here are more challenging, I guess you could call it. As a reviewer, how do you convince people to go to a movie that doesn't have that sort of easy escape of a blockbuster?
Well, you have to find them interesting yourself. I mean, I think you have to kind of be enthusiastic about them, and the trick is kind of getting people to share your enthusiasm, to almost shake people and say, you're going to like this. I don't care what it sounds like. You're going to like it. And I feel that. And I feel compelled to try and convince people of the same thing.
Well, give us an example of a film that left you actually thinking, here's a challenge. Boy, that was great, but how am I going to get people to see it? Because you like it.
Yeah, I mean, one of the ones that I think of, because it's the films that I think I don't even want to see that I think are the most challenging to convince other people of. Of course, if I didn't want to see them in the first place, I know it's going to be harder for other people. The Station Agent was one. The Station Agent was a story of a man who's 4'5", who goes off to a remote train station in New Jersey to consider life. And it sounded like a really bad Ingmar Bergman movie. I said, I just can't handle this. But I saw it, and the film was delightful. And Peter Dinklage, who plays the man, is wonderful. Patricia Clarkson is in there. I got all excited. And I just try and say, look, forget what you may think. This is actually fun.
How'd you find this place?
I inherited it.
It's very nice. Oh, I love this. What is this?
It's an old ticket box.
Oh, look at this little
form. Careful, it doesn't...
Oh! How did you choose the reviews to include in this book? I mean, were there ones that you knew from right at the beginning they were going to be in there, and then bit by bit it was like, and then there's this, and then there's that?
There are two things. One is the films that I really think people will enjoy that they have forgotten. Smaller films that got away, that they just can't remember when they go, you know, into a video store to get them. And the other thing is that I wanted it to be the reviews that were well-written. I think you really can't convince people to see a film unless you really make them want to read what you've written.
One of my favorites, and it's a movie I've never seen, actually, but I'm going to run out and rent it.
Good.
It's called Bottle Rocket, and it starred Owen Wilson and Luke Wilson before they were the big stars that they are now. And there's a part I actually would like you to read, which is the kind of team that the word misadventure was invented for.
Okay, this is what I wrote. The kind of team the word misadventure was invented for, the boys are to serious criminals what bottle rockets, cheap, unimpressive fireworks, are to real explosives. After pulling a few desultory jobs, they flee to an isolated motel to lie low until the heat cools down. There they meet one of the only people in the film to have a true sense of direction.
Boy, you get a nice breeze with that door open like it is. It was kind of stuffy in here. Do all of these rooms yourself, all of these up in... I'm Anthony. Anthony. What's your name?
Inez.
Inez.
Ken, do you have your own favorite among these reviews that are in this book?
There's one that's kind of a favorite of mine because of the film and because of the writing. There's a review I'm really fond of a French-Canadian film from 1993 called Leolo, and I just want to read a little bit about how it starts. Nothing describes Leolo, nothing does it justice. It's a film you feel more than analyze, a movie that makes emotional rather than literal sense. And though it is as intoxicated with language as it is with images, Leolo comes from such a deep connection between memory and the subconscious that it resists tidy summation. A film without boundaries, a fever dream of imagination, poetry, and love, it simply must be seen.
I'm intrigued, but is there a sketch you can tell us of what it's about?
This is actually a semi-autobiographical film. It's a coming-of-age film. It's the story of a young artistic boy growing up in the most unartistic, impoverished neighborhood in French-Canadian Montreal that you can imagine. It's a remarkable film. It's, I think, for me, one of the great films about childhood ever made. It's poetic, it's harsh, it's beautiful, it uses language, it's well-acted, it's painful. It was just too much for people. And because the director had a personality that was abrasive, it went to festivals where it was supposed to do well. He irritated people. It didn't do well. Then he ended up dying in a plane crash. This is the last film he ever made. You know, I think this is a remarkable film. I think he was a great talent. And, you know, this is a film that meant an enormous amount to me. And I want people to see it.
These smaller, more intriguing films, do you feel like what you say as a reviewer can make a difference for them?
Yeah, I mean, within the business, these films are known as review-driven films. They're films that, without good reviews, completely disappear. And really, as a critic, these are the films you live for because these are the films you can make a difference with, so you help something of quality. And these are the films that really readers are most grateful for. And, you know, with the bigger films, they're going to go anyway or they're not going to go anyway. It's got nothing to do with the review.
Collecting all these old reviews, did you go back and watch any of these movies again? And if you did your opinion change at all?
Not on these. These are the ones that really matter to me. You know, what I feel when I see these again is that I say, why aren't more people seeing this? Why didn't this film make it? It's a feeling of frustration to see these films again because most people would like them and they just disappeared.
You know, talking about never coming to a theater near you, something occurred to me. How many movies do you see each week?
Oh, boy. I see upwards of 5 movies a week, every week, week in, week out.
And review how many of them?
2 to 3 a week.
So this book accounts for what percentage of your life over the last 10 years?
Well, this book, unfortunately, I mean, it's an odd thing to say. This is like the best 10% of my life over the past 10 years. This is the stuff that made the other 90% worthwhile. The chance to experience these films, small though it was in the total viewing, really made it all that wasted time worthwhile.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Kenneth Turan is a film critic for Morning Edition and the Los Angeles Times. His newest book is called Never Coming to a Theater Near You.